it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WVU and Pitt coming together to support our communities this Hunger Action Month, because it is Hunger Action Month. For every $1 raised, the food bank can provide up to 3 meals. Get involved and donate now at pittsburghfoodbank.org/pitt. Donnie, football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, in for Joe. Joe had to go back up to Buffalo for the weekend to attend to some family business. Austin Bechtold is with me behind the glass. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, which is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And we go back out to the fan hotline, which is, again, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC services for over 50 years. And that is where we find Nate Breisinger, who covers the Pitt Panthers for Pittsburgh Sports Now. But, Nate, before we get into Pitt and the brawl and all of that, Austin made me aware that you guys were college roommates. Is that correct?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely correct. 2 years.
This is going to set the YouTube chat ablaze, finding out that we have Austin's college roommate, because you really have an opportunity to literally and figuratively put his dirty laundry right out here in front of us. But I feel like you probably won't do that just because you're a good guy.
And Nate wouldn't do that.
No, absolutely not. But it was fun. 2 years. Now, COVID impacted the 1 year. But no, it was great. Living with Austin, with Gulvash. I know Austin's talked about him a couple times, but
Nate, the Panthers go into this game. They're 2-0. Eli Holstein playing well. 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. They seemingly have every advantage going into this backyard brawl. Now, Austin and I kind of feel the same way. We think Pitt will win the game, but it may be more difficult than what Pitt fans anticipate. What's your feeling? You know, you don't have to give a score right now, but what's your gut feeling on this game at a glance?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for this Pitt team and this Pitt offense because it will be the toughest atmosphere that Cade Bell and Eli Holstein have faced since they've come to Pitt. I mean, Cincinnati was maybe the best one last year, maybe SMU, but nothing compares to what they'll face on Saturday in Morgantown. And while it'll be difficult, they're going to be using some silent counts down there, I think this offense is good enough, at least, you know, Holstein getting the ball out quick enough and the playmakers that they have on the perimeter at receiver, that they can rattle off a couple explosive plays. And I think that could be a huge difference offensively. And I foresee this one. I know that it's a tough atmosphere. It's a rivalry game. So you throw a lot of this stuff out the window, like the spread. I mean, that might not matter in the end, but I think this is the type of game that Pitt on paper right now can go in and really, you know, not dominate per se, but really take control of and win this game rather easily compared to the last 3 matchups that they've been in with this team.
Do the Panthers have any key injuries that maybe people don't know about going into tomorrow?
They're rather healthy. I think you look back at last week, Tamon Lineham left the game, the cornerback, one of the veteran cornerbacks, and then Rashad Battle was out that game as well, did not dress. Those will probably be game time decisions. I think we won't know until we go down there, but could put more emphasis on those backup corners. Shadarian Harrison's a redshirt sophomore, and Sean Lee Jr. from Harrisburg is a true freshman who played a lot last week in Pitt's win over Central Michigan. So he's already been settling in a little bit, but this one's really going to be like baptism by fire if you go out there, because I think Pitt's front seven can really take away the ground game. So I think West Virginia's going to have to go through the air in this one.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big underlying keys, how healthy Pitt is overall, and West Virginia losing probably its best offensive player last week. Jaheim White going down for the whole season So they don't really have the offensive firepower that Pitt is able to have. Desmond Reed, yet again, off to a pretty fun start. A touchdown this year, 183 yards from scrimmage. Maybe not quite the path he was on in 2024, but what makes him so dynamic in this Pitt offense, Nate?
I mean, just his ability to make someone miss in space. He needs the holes from the running or from the offensive line in the ground game to help with that. But I mean, once he gets into space, whether it's catching the ball out of the backfield, getting through that first level, the line of scrimmage, I mean, he can just, you know, turn loose. He did that against Duquesne, where he made a cut right at the line of scrimmage, made a linebacker miss, and he was gone for 53 yards. And then the same thing in the punt return game. I mean, he gets the ball in his hands. He's ever so dangerous. And I think that's been the big thing for Pitt this year through two games. Yes, against inferior opponents, but their special teams has been really good. And Desmond Reed's been a big part of that. Again, you know, one of the top 15 all-purpose guys right now in the country at this point. But same with Kenny Johnson in the kick return game. He has ripped off some really big returns as well. Not for touchdowns yet, but he had a 78-yarder. He had a couple other ones. So, but Desmond Reed, I mean, yeah, you put the ball in his hands. That's what makes him so good, is his ability to go out and make a play anytime he has the ball in his hands. And I know that'll be huge for Pitt in this game, because he hasn't maybe done so that much. I mean, other than the 53-yard touchdown, he's only averaging 3.4 yards per carry. That could be a lot better. And that's a little bit on Reed. That's a little bit on the O-line as well, maybe not helping him out as much. So I think this is a game where they're going to have to really lean on him, especially if West Virginia starts to take the pass away.
Yeah, the stat on Kenny Johnson in the return game, the only FBS player since 2022 to record at least 80 kick return yards in each of his team's first two games. He also leads the ACC in that category. So he can be dynamic in the return game. That's also a spot in this game, special teams, where West Virginia could have a chance for a splash. Like, normally you feel in a game where an upset is pulled, there's always something in special teams. So do you feel with Johnson and with what Pitt has on special teams, they really have the advantage in all three facets here?
I think they do, because this has been another step up in the special teams department this year, and especially second year coach and special teams coordinator Jacob Bernowski has really got this unit playing at a high level. And it's not just the returners, it's the blocking, the scheme, everything there has been really good for Pitt. And you look at last year in the brawl, Maverick Gracio came off the edge to block a punt. Those are the type of plays that are going to make this game, turnovers, takeaways. And they did so last year, and that was huge. Didn't let West Virginia get too much momentum at that point in time, because they just had faked a punt and got a first down, and then they come back, Pitt does, and blocks the punt. But I think some of those plays, yeah, are going to make a huge difference and be key in this game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Pitt defense had high expectations coming into this season. So far, the Panthers, with a couple of cupcakes on their schedule, that's just sort of how it goes in college football. But now they get a rivalry game. They get to play West Virginia on the road. Who are some of the guys on the defensive side that you want to highlight ahead of the backyard brawl?
I think, obviously, you have to look at the linebackers there, and they're just so athletic. They're so fast. Now, the depth there is a little bit questionable, just because they lost two players before the season. And right now, between Rasheem Biles, the All-American Kyle Lewis, and the middle linebacker Braylon Lovelace, a Whipple guy, they're going to play 95% to 98% of these snaps on Saturday. Last week, Cameron Lindsay, Nick Lappi, some of the backup guys, they played only 5 snaps. The other 3 played about 60. So that's what Pat Narduzzi wants to do. He talked about when he was at Michigan State as a D coordinator, he wanted his guys. He wanted 11 guys out there the whole time. He didn't want to make too many substitutions if they didn't need to. And I think this linebacker unit can do that. They're conditioned, they're fast, and they can make plays and be disruptive not only in the backfield, but they're pretty good in coverage. And I think with Pitt against West Virginia, where they're without Jaheim White, they don't have maybe a great ground game coming into this game. If Pitt can limit that ground game just with the front four on the defensive line, those linebackers can play a little bit back more, a little bit more in coverage. But on that D-line, you have a really good D-tackle room and Nick James and Sean Fitzsimmons, the Central Valley grad, and Francis Brew has played really well, been one of the best graded players in Pitt's defense in terms of Pro Football Focus. But then also on the edge, they're trying to still find a guy that can really step in and make a play. They have returner Jimmy Scott at the end, but Zach Crothers, a redshirt freshman, has really stepped up these last two games, had a really good game last week against Central Michigan, made a couple plays, had, I think, two sacks or at least a sack and a half on the day. That's something they were missing last year. Other than Jimmy Scott, they had Nate Matlack, and they have Blaine Spires starting there this year in replacement of Nate Matlack, but a third guy to really step in, at least early in the season. Sincere Edwards came on a little bit as the year went along, but Crothers has shown some really good flashes so far in the D-end.
Nico Markiel, the West Virginia quarterback, he actually played majority of the game 2 years ago. He was 6 of 9 for 60 yards, a touchdown, no picks. That was the last game in Morgantown. That's why I bring that up. One of the ugliest football games anybody has ever witnessed, the 17-6 Pitt loss. Otherwise, he doesn't do much for me. He doesn't put a whole lot of fear, or he shouldn't put a whole lot of fear into Pitt's defense. Jalen Henderson, more of a running quarterback, so they could see a mix of him in that. Do you feel the Panthers are prepared to face two QBs in this game, kind of a revolving door that West Virginia may have?
Yeah, I think they are, because they couldn't have had a better game last week in terms of preparation, because Central Michigan rotated three quarterbacks in and showed all three quarterbacks showed something different, could run, could throw. So that's what they're going to expect. And obviously they have some of that tape against Mark Yule from 2023. And then last week as well, I mean, just watching that game last week against Ohio, I mean, he really could not move the ball through the air. So that's why I think limiting the ground game and forcing him to throw, making it one-dimensional, will be pivotal for Pitt, because Mark Yule just hasn't done much. I think Henderson might give West Virginia a little bit of a better opportunity to, you know, run the ball on the ground with him and you know, do some PA reads and stuff like that. So, but I think Pitt is rather prepared for a two quarterback look.
Nathan Breisinger, Pitt Panthers reporter for Pittsburgh Sports Now, joining us right here on 93.7 The Fan at the 50-minute mark, which is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Nate, your prediction for this game, how do you feel this game goes down, and who is the MVP once the dust settles on Saturday night?
I think Pitt has to start fast here, and I think they can. And then they have to take the crowd out of it. I think that's going to be the first most important point of this game for Pitt, is to go down there, get some points on the board. They have to score a touchdown. I don't know if you recall from that 2023 game, they ran the ball every single play on their first drive, got down within the 10-yard line, and then were stuffed and had to kick a field goal. And they never found the end zone that entire game. So they have to be able to do that early on here. And Pitt, I just think with this offense, the spread look, the ability to get the ball out quickly to its playmakers like Kenny Johnson, Terrace Hicks, that they'll be able to do so. And I think they'll be able to rack up a couple explosive plays that get in the end zone. So my prediction, 30-10 Pitt. I think it's a little bit bigger of a margin than maybe people think it will be. And I know it's the rivalry game. It's West Virginia. But if there's a game in this rivalry the last 4 years that Pitt really has the upper hand, it's this one. So I think this one going in here, 30-10 Pitt. I think offensively you have to put the MVP on Eli Holstein. I think Desmond Reed can make a lot of plays, but Eli Holstein has to be your MVP. And then defensively, I think Rasheem Biles is going to step up, make a couple plays defensively, maybe a pick, a couple pass breakups. He led Pitt last year in pass breakups. So Biles defensively, Holstein offensively for Pitt in a 30-10 victory to end this four-year stint of this brawl.
A couple of transfers on the offensive line, Nate, especially on the left side of it, but a lot of veterans. Do you think that Pitt could go in there and just push WVU around and it be that big of a day for Reed?
You know, that's where I think the big question lies on offense, and maybe the concern lies. You haven't seen that a ton through these first two games. And again, against Central Michigan and Duquesne, there hasn't been the best push from the line, in the at least the ground game. And if they can get that against West Virginia, then I think they'll be able to dominate offensively all day between mixing in the pass and the run. But right now, that's where I think some of the questions lie on this offense. And I don't know if they're going to be able to maybe open up the biggest holes for Reed. I think Reed's going to have to do a lot of things on his own in this game.
Nathan Breisinger, check out his stuff, covers the Pitt Panthers for Pittsburgh Sports Now, has a big Pitt win tomorrow night. Nate, thanks for taking the time, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.